Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We're now going to get into a conversation which is all about where to put your money.
Okay, so the past year or so has seen how COVID-19 changed the wealth management industry. So it's evolved, you know, client demands, and of course there's diminishing outlooks for top line growth as well.
Yeah, it's been a tough one. So wealth managers have had to really rise to the challenge, with integrated wealth managers proving to be pretty stable anchors to group valuations.
Yeah, you know, not just that, you know, they can still continue to earn a high multiple relative to other financial services sectors if management teams have the right strategy in place.
And as senior banking leaders determine the future shape of their firms, wealth managers should be central to the conversation.
But despite all the changes in the wealth management industry, Citi Asia Pacific has set a record for net new money in wealth management last year.
Yeah, Citi has attracted over $20 billion in net new money across its regional wealth management business, and that means it surpassed last year's total by more than 10%.
Yeah, this result includes the consumer banking wealth franchise, as well as the private bank covering emerging, affluent to high, ultra-high, in fact, the ultra-high net worth clients.
Yeah, so will Citi be advising their clients in 2021? What will they be saying to them? Where should they put their money?
Let's find out more from Samara Franisevich, who is Asia Regional Head of Wealth Management Advisory at Citi. Samara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It should be quite an interesting conversation. So it's been a year since that huge sell-off. If you remember March, in fact, this time last year, gosh, markets definitely more than recovered. I suppose to start us off, what are your expectations for 2021? I mean, how much higher can it push?
Yeah, look, I mean, who would have thought, you know, a year from last year, we'd be sitting here discussing the massive recovery that we've seen. I remember last year, March, we were all wondering whether it was going to be U-shaped, V-shaped, all the alphabets were discussed, right? So it's been a phenomenal recovery to date. Now, we're talking about, you know, this is a second year recovery because the recovery really started last year. Mm. And the prospects of, you know, further fiscal and monetary stimulus on top of the phenomenally effective COVID-19 vaccines and it's being rolled out have really buoyed global markets in 2021. However, what we're seeing now is a little bit of inflation expectations that are rising. So investors are a bit worried about a record size and a further record size stimulus in the U.S. of $190 trillion that President Biden's trying to push through. Maybe it is too much for an already recovering economy to handle. So we are saying we might see some near-term consolidation in equities, particularly in rate-sensitive growth shares that have proved defensive during the worst of COVID-19 shock. But having said that, our Citi Global Investment Committee is still 9% overweight in global equities. So we still maintain that, you know, the future of equities, there's still a fair bit of growth to stabilize. And, you know, once the vaccines have been rolled out and we go back to some semblance of normality, you know, there's still quite a lot of growth to come through. So our view is that global earnings growth in 2022 could be another 12 to 15% after the surge in 2021. So sustained growth is key, which can be expected early in a recovery that's buoyed by supportive macro policies.
So, Samara, let's nail it down even further. Tech companies in particular were one of the big winners from last year. What are you advising your clients with regard to the tech sector?
So this is something that we talk a lot to our clients about, and we call them, I don't know, you must have read it maybe in some of our articles as well, leave your home. So leave your home versus stay at home. Stay at home basket includes your tech sectors. These are companies that make money from you being stuck at home. Right? Your Zooms, your Netflix, your Amazon deliveries and all of that. And they have done phenomenally well, obviously, because of the impact of COVID-19. But we've been talking to clients almost, you know, in third quarter last year to start taking profit from the tech companies, because we did think the valuations were very high, and start looking at leave your home baskets, which is basically companies that make money from you leaving your home. Think retail, think hotels, cruises, flights. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate to have a holiday. So we expect the moment people have the opportunity to go back to some semblance of normalcy, these stocks and sectors that have been really impacted by COVID-19 have a lot of pent-up demand that would really help drive their growth. So our discussions with clients is to take profit, limit the exposure, so no more than 20% of their equities in tech and really take profit and look at some of these undervalued sectors that we believe have a bit of a growth story potentially as we go back to normality.
I'm a bit curious on your thoughts or your stand with regard to the healthcare sector. And the reason is because before COVID-19, it was the buzz of the infusion of medical and tech, med tech.
Yes.
Then COVID-19 happened, healthcare sector obviously more relevant than ever before. What is Citi's stance with regard to the healthcare sector?
Yes, if you look at the healthcare sector, the U.S. and global healthcare shares have actually fallen close to historic lows and valuations compared to other equity sectors, despite the sector showing the most stable fundamental outperformance through time. With the recurring fears of greater U.S. regulations priced into this share, the largest pharmaceutical makers get little value for future drug pipelines. So, they have, dividend yields of 3-4%. They've grown the dividend payments at about 9% growth trade over the past decade. So Sydney analysts' confidence in the future growth of healthcare is both, like you mentioned, technological and demographic. If you look at the over 65 share of the world population, it's expected to outgrow all other age cohorts in the coming decades. So that in itself is a huge trend for our healthcare. So healthcare is one of our unstoppable trends because of the increasing longevity. Specific areas in healthcare that we're looking at is life sciences, global pharmaceuticals, of course, medical devices and telehealth. I mean, you mentioned, health and technology, telehealth and biopharma. Again, COVID, you can't see your doctor face-to-face. Telehealth is another big one that we're looking at.
Okay, something we've been looking at quite closely in recent days has been bond yields because they've been causing jitters. Now, I know you touched upon this earlier about the inflation expectations.
Sure.
But what do you think about the reaction to these rising bond yields and the implications for markets and bonds in general?
I mean, we've obviously been, in the last couple of weeks, there has been a reaction in the U.S., even as Fed continues to assure that there is no rush to normalize policy setting, bond yields have risen sharply. But this has been welcomed by Chair Powell and others within the Fed as a validation of the improved U.S. economic outlook. Concerns have been emerging in other major economic blocks as well, like ECB President Lagarde indicating move into higher euro area bond yields. It's been closely monitored as euro financial conditions tighten considerably. RBA has been aggressively buying bonds to counter the move, and the Bank of Japan has also been quick to remind investors that yields in Japanese bonds will remain low relative to elsewhere. And as you know, overnight, S&P surged yesterday as well. So the move to higher risk assets can coincide with the steadying across the Treasury yield curve after central banks, from across Bank of England, Australia, and the Federal Reserve have doubled down on commitments to maintaining accommodative policy throughout the global economic recovery. So from a Citi perspective, we do think, it's a little bit of an overreaction because, all of the Federal Reserves and central banks around the world have committed to keeping rates low. So the normalization of bond yields would actually be a good story. It just means that growth is normalizing.
Okay, but what does that mean, for Asian currencies then? I mean, we'd always look at the U.S. and the kind of how it sets everything up. Central banks in Asia, are we expecting any action from them, especially with the bond yields going up?
So the near-term caution on Asian emerging market FX as the sudden and sharp rise in U.S. bond yields is seen challenging. It's challenging the bullish view or the bullish narrative. But from a Citi perspective, the medium to long-term underlying rationale for Asia's bullishness persists. I mean, China's economic resilience, strength of exports, high conversion to RMB by corporates, just really, from our Citi's perspective, supports the bullishness and Asia FX. In terms of the central banks, economic growth vulnerability to COVID-19 shock is still likely to persist in Asia emerging markets with a proportionally larger weight on growth demand shocks. This means that monetary policy easing will be the first line of defense to alleviate cash flows from COVID-19. So Citi strategies expect central banks around the region to lean on the dovish side, or continue leading on the dovish side to ease funding pressures for businesses with cash flow stress. And this includes the likes of China, Thailand, Korea and Malaysia in particular.
Okay, we will now move on to Bitcoin. Now, this has been in the headlines a lot lately, and whether or not it's going to play a bigger role in the global financial system. I'm curious to get your take on this and ask really whether you think the cryptocurrency could become the currency of choice for international trade in years to come. And let's remember it does have its limitations. There's a huge narrative in the papers at the moment and across the internet about the massive carbon footprint of Bitcoin. There are still lots of questions, aren't there?
Absolutely. And we actually, for our clients, we don't advise on Bitcoin. We certainly don't have as part of our portfolio allocations in the retail side. largely because of the fact that it's quite speculative still and quite high risk. From a macro perspective, the view is, of course, you've got a lot of central banks looking at potentially digital currencies as one of the options. So as you see more and more regulations getting involved and more central banks getting involved, which normalizes digital currencies as such, then, you know, Bitcoin certainly will have place or something that we could consider for adding into portfolios. As it stands, though, it's way too speculative for us to start advising or investing into it from our clients' perspective.
I miss the simple life where we were still figuring out what's Bitcoin. Now here we are.
That is true.
Samara, unstoppable trends are powerful long-term forces that are revolutionizing the ways we live and do business globally. These trends can endure throughout an economic cycle, potentially offering resilient growth potential to portfolios. I bring that up because Citi has presented two additional unstoppable trends to which they recommend having exposure for this year and beyond. Could you share more with us?
Yeah, so let me share all of them, if you don't mind. I'll do it very quickly, right? So Rise of Asia, I've already mentioned, it's a powerhouse. We're expecting the middle class in Asia to grow to 1.5 billion in the next decade or so, in a huge powerhouse of consumption. So that's one area. Increasing longevity, again, I've mentioned that. Aging population around the world, which would really drive the consumption of healthcare. Digital disruption, I mean, you just look at Zoom, where it was more than a year than where it is now, right? But outside of those more common ones, you're looking at 5G, cybersecurity, fintech. You know, take 5G, for example, right? At the moment, we've got about 250 million users of 5G. We're expecting that to go that to 3.5 billion users, 3.6 billion users by 2025. That's a 14 times multiple over 5 years. Right? So it's phenomenal. So the new one that we have added that you mentioned is new energy. Okay. Right, and the COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted the link between, you know, what we're going through, current societal and environmental crisis, emerging communicable diseases, and the quality of social systems such as health systems in many countries. You know, there's also a massive commitment now. You know, China's committed to net zero targets by 2060. President Biden has already rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement. Mm. So the ESG momentum looks set to continue on an upward trajectory, and it's you know, across the board, it's a really supportive story. But within that, if you go specifically into you know, what within ESG, we're looking the trend that we've added is new energy. Okay. So in 2020, electricity from renewable energy for the very first time became cheaper than that from key fossil fuels. And I don't know about you know, for me, right, if I could reduce my electricity bill, I would do it, right?
Absolutely.
So this is without subsidy. This is important. It's without subsidy. So you will see the tipping point where consumers, if they have the option, then they will, not just because they're the tree huggers or, you know, the green people, but because it's actually cheaper, you will see this shift from traditional fossil fuels to renewable energy. And this could really hasten the greening of energy use coming over the coming years, not to take into account all of the regulatory and the governments around the world that are supporting the shift to renewable energy. So city analysts really see potential rising from these technological advances, electrification, and an energy efficiency drive.
Naturally, as you have that mass shift of users.
Absolutely.
Such trends really occur. Samara Franisevich, who is Asia Regional Head of Wealth Management Advisory at Citi, on the line with us. Really appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, guys.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.